Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to the Sleepers Podcast, Thursday, May 2nd edition, and congratulations, you're welcome to our YouTube viewers who get to see an immaculate haircut that Carter Elliott is the recipient of this morning.
Yeah, I mean, just special work. Shout out to my barbecue, aka barbecue sauce. Hit him up on IG, gives absolutely crazy cuts. Best in the business, easily.
Barbecue sauce is a crazy name for a barber.
Yeah, you get, but his name is Q, but goes by barbecue sauce. And every cut has different levels of sauce. Like, you can pay top dollar and you get a little extra sauce on the cut. Or you just get like simple sauce, like a ketchup level cut.
It's barbecue sauce?
Yeah, on that's his IG name.
What if it was barbecue sauce?
I think that's kind of the play on it. It's like barbecue, but barbecue.
Was there an R in it?
Yeah, like barber.
Barbecue sauce.
Barbecue.
Oh, okay. I wasn't catching that part of this. Yeah, I like that a little bit more. How tall exactly is barbecue sauce?
He's probably 6 foot.
I would have guessed 5'9".
He might be also 5'8".
Lovely. All right. Well, you look great, my friend. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for our viewers, like I said, that they get to see such a handsome man sitting across from me on the Zoom call. Card, how's the weather today? What's it looking like?
Man, the sun is beating down today. Like, it's not even taking a turn. It's just, it's cooking today. 80 degrees, not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with you, but the glow from the weather mixed with your haircut, it just, you're really in a good spot today. It's nice.
My stock is up, I'd say.
Yeah, it's nice to see. Your stock is like Cam Christie's, soaring through the roof right now. People are probably calling you, offering you things.
Yeah, but I'm not soft.
You don't have a brother who's soft either.
Yeah, also I haven't slept in a Lightning McQueen bed ever in my life.
Let's get to the show. Start us off with the YouTube comment of the day.
I have them screenshot. I have two today. That's for the I don't come prepared crowd, which I usually don't. But I do. But sometimes I don't. Okay. This one comes from Brandon Cahoon. Day one of asking you both of y'all to put 30 seconds to a minute on a timer and talk about your takes on the future of Penn State basketball. Right now, I'm just a Sleepers and college basketball fan, but I went to Penn State, and I need to know if it's worth it being a fan, or will it just be a pain all the time?
Go.
Yeah, it's going to be pain. There's going to be pain. I'm not sure if I believe that Mike Rhodes is going to do enough, at least in these first couple of years, to really change Penn State. I'm not really sure what his vision is, but I'm not really following the vision currently as it resides.
Yeah, I think the hard thing to come to terms with is that even if you get a generational coach in theory like Shrewsbury, who plays fun and has good players, he's just getting nabbed immediately from you the moment he has a great year. That would be really hard for me to just take as a fan. I think the best you could probably hope for is be like Northwestern Boo Booey, where you have like a transcendent player come in, give you four great years, and then ultimately depart and you have to find a new coach. There's 45 seconds on Penn State basketball. Good job by us there.
Really good work. But also, am I missing somebody? I mean, they just had everyone transfer. I'm pretty sure. Tough times. But the second comment that I wanted to read on here, this one comes from Brandon Schneider. It's on an Illinois video. Boswell, White, Hummer, Booth, Davis, Merez. Those are newcomers and they are absolutely better than what left. They are absolutely better than what left. They are absolutely better than Terrence Shannon, Marcus Damask, and Coleman Hawkins and Quincy Guerrier.
He's talking about the non-vets. He's talking about the guys who transferred out, like a Sincere Harris.
Yeah. Okay, Okay, I'll give you that. The reason I screenshot that comment is I think I misconstrued it. I thought they were saying those guys are they're like reloading with what better than what they had.
No, I won't even give you that, though. Like, Jake Davis might not be better than Luke Goody. Straight up. Like, we don't know. There's a very high chance Jake Davis is not as good as Luke Goody. I said this to Coy in the Discord this morning, but, like, man, the way the Illinois fan base has flipped narratively on Imani Hansberry in a three-week span is insane. Like, people were telling me in March that he's the future and he's a perimeter-oriented four that's going to play with Merez. It's a perfect pairing. And then he hits the portal when Chester leaves, and it's like, oh, he's an afterthought. He stunk. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get doing business like that. It's good to be optimistic about your guys, but, like, I don't know. Like, you could have kept some of these guys. You could have kept Imani. You could have kept Sincere if Brad didn't want to fire Chester Frazier, basically. And I'm not saying that's a good move. Like, Orlando Antigua should come in and help. But if Orlando Antigua's first big recruiting ad is from Riches, there's no guarantee that that guy's better than some of the guys who are outgoing. Like, Imani is a pedigree recruit who could end up being really, really good. And most importantly, like, this is probably going to change. Like, you could go through 1 year and then decide, like, Jake Davis isn't good enough and he leaves next year, and then you're shitting on Jake Davis. So, like, until Illinois fans prove to me that there's a player that they're not going to just, like, cast aside and say is horrible after 6 months, I'm not going to believe anything they say about their players coming in or going out. Like, all of these guys you've added could leave in a year and you're telling me they're horrible.
Yeah, just because a guy leaves doesn't mean they're horrible.
Just because a guy comes in doesn't mean he's awesome. Like, yeah,
it goes both ways.
It's a mix. All right. It's not a great moment for Positivity Week to start the show.
I thought we're done with it. It's a short week. It's one of those short
weeks. But your haircut looks so good.
Yeah, but, like, I need negativity.
I love that potted plant.
I need negativity.
All right.
Like, come on. That you can't tell me you don't think this little fan right here is stupid.
It's a beautiful fan. Let's go to the Discord. Join the Discord. $9.99 a month. We had more joinees in the Discord this morning. Let me find the name of...
No, Gregory, you get to the comments. I will get to the joinees.
Okay, I appreciate you. We're going to start today with Eric NJ Boiler 96. Says, if Greg gets to surprise Carter with a draft without prep time, when Greg obviously had a list, when does Carter get his turn? And what should that draft be? I have ideas, but if I share them here, then Greg can prepare. I mean, I think you could share the ideas. I can agree to not look at the ideas if you want. I also feel like it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah, it kind of doesn't, to be honest with you. We're gonna call spade a spade here. It really does not matter. Shout out to 2K Lab Sean for joining.
Yeah,
Indiana fan, I believe that he is. That's the only joinee that we had. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody here. So we already did Dreadhead, Dev Royal, the King.
Yeah, that's
so, yeah,
it.
Shout out to 2K Lab Sean.
Shots at 2K Lab Sean. Indiana fans starting to really get a pulse in the Discord. It's good to see. Indiana Purdue rivalry should be fun in the Discord this year. Back to the comment section. Let's see here. Malik Perry. I would like to say I disagree with basketball players being bad fighters. Chris Childress, Ron Artest, Charles Oakley, Latrell Sprewell, and the Indiana Pacers had a bunch of fighters. I don't know which sport has the worst fighters, but it ain't basketball. Maybe golf or something.
Did we say that basketball had the worst fighters?
We were skeptical of basketball players' ability to actually throw hands.
Yeah, I mean, golf is definitely least probably amount of hands.
Yeah, maybe. I love how much of a passion Malik takes in basketball players being able to throw fists at each other. That was his solution to fix Michigan State basketball all year long, was somebody just hit AJ Hogard. Malik also says no one hates Edie. He was a great player, but how long next year will it be before players get trauma from not having a guy who makes games easy? Man. Permission to take a 30-second stop from Positivity Week.
take a permanent stop from it.
Okay. This applies to Malik in this specific comment. This applies to some other comments that have happened in individual team threads in the Discord this week. Multiple, not just one. It happened in the Illinois thread. It happened in the Purdue thread. It happened in the Michigan thread. It happened in the Michigan State thread. It happened in all of the threads. If you're trying to make an argument that just results in like, well, I guess let's wait and see. Just miss me with the argument. I don't need it. I don't need to waste my time on something that you're not going to believe until you see it with your own eyes in November. If I'm providing you with reasons I think something's going to happen that are rooted in data or statistics or our effing eyes, like Braden Smith being awesome and Braden Smith being the only first team All Big Ten player that's returning to college basketball, and your argument and response is, well, what's it going to look like without Edie? I guess let's wait till November. Then okay, let's have the conversation in November. Don't spam the comments section. Don't spam the Discord with something we have to wait 6 months to discuss. And that's happened, not just Malik's thing here, but like it has happened in all these other threads that are like, well, Illinois is still going to beat Michigan. Okay, I guess let's just wait until February. And then we can have that conversation. Like, either give me something that's rooted in why you believe it with something of substance to back it up, or don't waste my time in the comments section. Like, I can't do this. I can't do 6 months of this in the offseason with people just being like, well, I say I'm right. Let's wait till November.
Oh, man, that negativity felt good.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that example I picked out from the Illinois thread is not the only example. There's examples in every thread. I'm tired.
We're so back.
I'm tired of it. Malik says, as Greg is reading this, I'm looking at Carter's face. So I won and you lost. How does it feel to know your demon is the winner? P.S. Why everybody mad about Carter picking Indiana and Texas? That's his opinion. On paper, Indiana is better than Purdue.
Man,
sounds like a topic for next week. It's a toss-up right now to me. I think they're both top 10 rosters in the country. It's going to be a fun rivalry. Guy says, daily high major comment to prove my sanity day six. Kim English is an incredible coach. The things he's doing at Providence need to be brought up. They managed to upgrade over Ed Cooley. Hopefully Bryce Hopkins can return well from his ACL injury.
I'm actually in with that comment by Guy. Like, I like the Wesley Cardet pickup, get Bryce Hopkins back. I like their portal moves. So I agree.
Guy commented that before Kim English's tweet last night also.
Yeah, was that about, like, people tampering, like, just to hit him up directly?
Yeah, just call me if you want my players. I'll let you know if they want to play for you.
Shit, they couldn't let me be a coach. I would have took Kim English up on that right away.
Kind of a power move there. I like it. Same old Lions says, it's glaringly obvious that Malik Perry has never seen videos of fighting on the golf course. Recreational middle-aged male golfers might be the most prone to fighting, constantly angry about their own lack of golf ability.
Yeah, but the only thing is that I feel like if I've seen golf fights, the first move is to use golf clubs in the fight, which is a sign of the fact that you can't fight.
Yeah, I mean, you're more of a, like, let's just use our bodies to fight each other and not use a tool or an instrument of war.
Yeah, I'm use your hands.
Understood. Okay. Guy sent a screenshot of Bryce Hopkins chips, I believe. Buffalo wing and blue cheese Bryce Hopkins potato chips, and he said might need a food review.
I'll order them and try them.
I would watch you do food reviews. I think you'd be pretty good at those.
Yeah, what are those called? Mukbangs? Is that what those are called?
I don't know. I do know that you, like, eating a food and then trying to assign it a score would be highly entertaining because of how much you would struggle with assigning the score.
So would it be entertaining because of me struggling, or entertaining because it's entertaining?
You are pure entertainment, but you should try it. That's all I'm saying. Let's order you the chips, and we'll see if you can make a good video out of it. Dreadhead, okay. Dev Royal to King says, where them DePaul transfer videos at?
Who they get?
He then follows that up by saying, y'all wasn't lying. Nikki had a verse here, and it's a screenshot of the moment for life.
Just an elite verse. Who did DePaul add?
Let's move on. Quinn responded to me. Quinn Hazard said, we were talking about year one must, and I said year one must is going to be really bad, and year two must could be great. He said, I respect it. Entertaining either way. Usually flops badly when it's a whole new team, but we keep getting guys, though, now with your boy Terrence Williams. Yeah, Quinn, that's why year one's going to be bad. If you're gassing up T. Will as one of your marquee ads, I'm going to wait until year two to believe in USC. Is that fair, Cart?
I think Terrence Williams is better than you're giving him credit for. I'm kind of in on USC.
I like T. Will, but you can't gas up T. Will as like a big-time ad.
No, but like T. Will is probably, and I'm missing some guys, T. Will is probably their third or fourth best player.
Yeah, it's bad.
That's bad.
That's bad. Okay. Yeah. T. Will needs to be the sixth or seventh best player. Guy says, I see all this talk about CTE and it's all negative. We're missing an opportunity to harness CTE and use it for good. Like, imagine if they gave everyone in the Navy CTE. We're destroying every single other battleship. I censored the rest of this comment. Do you agree?
No. No, I do not agree that bestowing serious brain damage upon people is the way to go.
I don't want our military to be brain damaged. I want to make that unequivocally clear.
This question, put in a simpler form, is who wins in a war, like North Korea or 1,000 Antonio Browns?
Honestly, now that you lay it out like that, though.
All right.
Things were off the rails in the Discord last night. One of the wilder nights in Discord memory. Were you active or aware for any of that, or were you just out of it?
I was, because I was getting slandered, so I jumped in for that and defended myself, or tried to, and then I got a bunch of tomato reactions thrown at me, and I kindly exited directly after that.
Sometimes Discord sends like a notification that's like, Carter and Guy are talking about Terrence Shannon or something like that. I got a notification last night that said, like, Guy and Sully are talking about non-consensual baptisms and Judaism. Had to pop in there real quick, make it known that my family is a pro-synagogue family.
Yeah, we know that.
Damn, Skippy. Imaner says, what do you think about a college basketball reality show? I think it could be good for the sport. I vote Hard Knock style with a team that missed the tournament. So it would be Indiana or UCLA for me if they filmed it this year. Who would you pick?
I think Indiana would actually be a pretty good one for that. Or I'd do Kansas.
Kansas was the first that jumped to mind for me, too. Most personalities... although I don't know that that's something Bill Self would sign up for. Arkansas would be a great one, and I bet Cal would like sell the rights to Amazon Prime or something immediately. Like, that would be fun.
No, it'd be on Barstool, wouldn't it?
Cal? I don't think so.
I don't know. I just feel like that type of thing would be, because didn't like Colorado and Coach Prime have one on Barstool?
Prime did stuff for Barstool himself, but then I think he transcended that a little bit.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'd watch that whole thing.
Yeah. Sure. Imaner also says, do you guys remember the show of guys competing for a walk-on spot with Bobby Knight at Texas Tech?
No, I don't remember that show. Do you?
I don't either. I would like to watch that, though. Imaner says, a lot of talk about who is going to be the next face of the NBA. How much of this is due to stars not being made in college first? I think it's major. For example, it doesn't matter how good Caleb Williams is or is not. He's a star on day one for the NFL.
I do think there is a certain level of stardom that is kind of addressed in college that I think makes it easier to do so, because you've got to play more years of college football. And maybe just the star power kind of lacking at college basketball right now, because these old men won't move on.
Yeah, I don't really know how to answer it. I think it just depends on the player. I don't think it depends on the institution of college basketball to help the players be more marketable. It's a player issue. Like, go back to the last 10 drafts, there hasn't been like a guy who should be the face other than like the overseas guys like Luka. I mean, obviously Jokic. So those guys weren't in college, but I don't blame college basketball for that. It's just where the better players are coming from. I think the one college guy that I think should be being marketed as like the face of the league right now, obviously Anthony Edwards, but the other one I would throw out is Paolo Banchero. Paolo's like way better than anyone's talking about to me. And I'm convinced it's his face that is hurting his marketability.
Yeah, and him cramping.
I want Paolo to get a new face.
I don't think he's going to get one.
Well, could we, like, we should take some Duke NIL funds, and like John Shire should help his boy get a new face, because it could be good for the Duke brand.
Paolo, get a new face brand.
We could make it happen. Coop says, my favorite part of episodes is when Gregosaurus says something unhinged and Carter hits him with a Gregory. And then G-Man comes back with, I'm just saying.
I think I use Gregory too much.
I don't know how to feel about the Gregosaurus G-Man back to back there.
Gregosaurus Rex kind of slaps.
Sean Vowell says, is Great Osabor just a righty less good Malik Renew?
To me, Malik Renew can shoot a little bit. Once again, Great Osabor is an awful shooter.
I don't think they're overly similar archetypes. I also think Great Osabor is better than Malik Renew, so I'm willing to call Malik Renew good Osabor.
Malik Renew is better than Great Osabor.
Nah, I think Malik Renew is good Osabor. Kai says, with all this stadium talk, what's y'all's top five stadiums overall? Can be anything from sports to concert stadium to horse racing track.
Ford Field.
It's a horrible answer.
Ford Field slaps.
Like I love it too. I know heartstrings, but like if we're like you ranking Ford Field your best stadium ever is hilarious.
Ford Field. This is in no order. It's just my five. Ford Field. Honestly, I'm not sure the name of it. Well, wherever the Cardinals play, we went. I love that stadium, that setup. Is that do you know the name of it actually? The
Cardinals?
Yeah, the stadium where we watched the Final Four at.
Oh, the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
Was it State Farm?
Maybe. I love that stadium.
I think it's State Farm.
I really like that stadium a lot. And then I think I'll go. I don't know. Honestly, I need to go to more stadiums, to be honest with you. I enjoy Champaign. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed State Farm. I believe that's State Farm too, actually. Just a big arena, kind of NBA style. I don't know. I bow out on this question, to be honest with you. I have not been to enough cool stadiums, to be honest with you.
Assembly Hall and Mackey Arena are both in mine. Mackey for environment, Assembly for like just the infrastructure of it. Super cool.
Mackey's all environment, though, in my opinion. It's not
that's
great.
That's part of the stadium to me. Like that's you go for the stadium for the environment sometimes. If you are doing a Detroit-based stadium, Comerica Park should be the pick, not Ford Field. There's nothing special about Ford Field at all.
Ford Field is 1,000 times better than Comerica.
Yeah, this is just you hating baseball. There's literally nothing special about Ford Field whatsoever.
What's special about Comerica?
Comerica has like you mentioned the first time we talked about this, the
Pepsi ports that you told me that everyone has.
Okay, they also have a carousel in the middle of the stadium, like a little amusement park. The like just the way it's set up, the left field scoreboard that's massive. It's like larger dimensions than most. Comerica is like widely accepted as one of the nicest parks in the MLB. Ford Field is widely accepted as one of the biggest dumps in the NFL.
That's not true.
It is absolutely true.
Not true. This is not the Silverdome, sir.
With all due respect, you do not belong commenting on stadiums when you think Wrigley Field sucks. Like, you are no expert in this subject matter of cool stadiums.
Yeah, Wrigley's great. Ivy.
It's just ridiculous. Eric NJ Boiler says, in the early 90s, the Big East tried six fouls. The idea was obviously to keep star players out of foul trouble. The criticism was that underdogs had a tougher time pulling the upset.
Sorry, can you repeat that? My dog is going stupid upstairs. I need to turn my computer
up. The Big East tried six fouls in the 90s. The criticism was that underdogs had a tougher time pulling the upset.
Well, then be better at pulling the upset. I want six fouls. I'm tired of seeing guys get auto-benched with two fouls in the first half. I can't do it anymore.
Eh, I guess that makes sense. Okay, who in the hail says, with the news of Morton being exiled well west of the Mississippi, considering the last five seasons, what player from your programs would you have liked to send to the Rocky Mountains with no return flight back to campus?
AJ Hogard.
Ricky Doyle.
Ricky Doyle.
I didn't like Ricky Doyle. It was so hard for me to root for Ricky Doyle. It really was. Like the whole concept of Ricky Doyle hurt me.
I thought you were going to pick Mark Donnell.
I didn't like him either, but he was better because he wasn't Ricky Doyle. Tristan Freeman says, if Boom Fizzle's dog entered America's Next Top Model, where would he finish? That pup strikes a pose in every picture sent in here.
Boom Fizzle's pup is pretty impressive. I feel like it's a little bit set up the way it is, like, because he looks photogenic in every photo. So I have some stage concerns, but very photogenic pup.
I'll take your word for it. I don't go in the pets channel.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't. I'm like you in the Discord. That's me in the pets channel. I just don't go in there.
It's one of my favorite places, honestly. It's good serotonin.
Yeah, not for me. I don't like serotonin.
You know serotonin is like makes you feel good, right?
Yeah. Overrated. Guy says, daily high major comment to prove my sanity. Day 7. Why is everybody in on Oregon but out on Washington this year? The rosters are in similar shape. Washington has a better coach. Also, can we stop calling Jackson, Shellstab both good, and also stop comping Peyton Pritchard to him? I'm going to give my quick answer to this. Guy, your efforts to do the high major thing of the day don't work if you pick all the worst high major programs to do every single day. You might as well just do the mid-major thing.
Yeah, pick a good one.
Yeah. Coy says, is JJ Redick just compensating with tattoo Robbie Hummel?
I think both are really good basketball minds.
I'm a little surprised JJ wants to coach instead of do his media thing.
You want to know why?
Why?
Psycho.
Yeah, I think it could flame out disastrously for him, though.
See, I think it goes well, to be honest, because I think he has screws loose, and I think you got to have some type of screws loose to be a really good coach. Like, he has the perfect setup right now. This dude's podcasting and drinking wine with LeBron James. He's having, like, all these great guests on. Him and Tommy Alter are doing great things on his Old Man and Three podcast. And he's like, you know what? Nah, I'm a psycho. I want to compete. I want to fix the Hornets. Because he's that. I think he's got a screw loose.
Yeah, I hear you. Phil Jackson or Greg Popovich could coach the Hornets and they would fail. Like, so I don't buy it. First time head coach podcaster. What could go wrong? I don't see it. Malik is back. He says, I think Mati Sissoko looks good in his new jersey. I hope he has a good season. After seeing some of the games we will play next year, Kansas is happening, possibly UConn and UNC. Tom, please go get a 5. If Cooper and Kohler get mad, we need a good 5. It's our weakest position again. We could win, but it would be easier with a good 5. What's the best food or snack you had at a baseball game?
Okay, one, we're not getting a 5. We're just not. I don't have faith that we're going to get one, straight up. The best snack is, they got to be warm. Let me press it with that. But the candied almonds, like the warm candied almonds, that's a top tier baseball snack.
You love almonds, don't you?
I am a big almond guy, yeah.
Yeah, I respect that. Not for me, but I like it.
The warm candied almonds are, whew.
I'll throw a random one out there at a baseball game that I've always enjoyed. Dippin' Dots.
Yeah, those are good. And I feel like they're exclusive to, like, that's the only place you're getting those.
I'm never touching a Dippin' Dot unless it's at a baseball game, but like a nice July summer hot day, 6th inning. Oh, I got to go get my Dippin' Dots before it closes. That's a good feel.
But also, wouldn't you rather just have regular ice cream than Dippin' Dots?
No. There's a time and a place. There's a time and a place for ice cream, but there's also a time and a place for Dippin' Dots.
Okay, respect.
Toon says, how many more years of PJ Thompson do we have, and where do you think his next landing spot will be? Assistant coach, head coach, at what level?
I think he's going to be at Purdue until Paint hangs it up.
I think there's a chance they could make him like head coach in waiting, but if it's like 20 more years of Paint, that's not happening.
You think there's 20 more years of Paint?
I think there could be. I know he's like Paint's old. Ish, but he's not that old, and I don't know. He kind of strikes me as like could coach until KDH.
I just think I have a take that I'm workshopping that I just thought of, but I feel really good about it. The whole like coaching until like your complete old age thing is gonna start to die out soon.
Mm.
Like I think like some of these coaches that are coaching right now that are getting up there, they're gonna finish it out, but after that, I think there's going to be like less guys coaching into their 70s and stuff like that.
I could see that. I could certainly see that for sure. Jesse says, after a brief moment of reflection on what fake positivity week actually is, I believe this is Greg giving himself license to make as many sarcastic remarks under the guise of self-improvement as he can. I have a theory this is actually the result of Greg not fighting for Mal's honor hard enough, and or was giving fake positivity about her baking during the wives baking segment, and then there were repercussions that occurred at home afterward. Now he's taking it out on Carter and all the listeners. Riley better watch out on Friday. Do you like that theory?
I don't see many holes in that theory, to be honest with you.
It's a great theory. I can speak honestly from the heart here. I did not have any repercussions at home from my wife about the baking segment. Carter did. My wife is pissed at Carter.
Yeah, she is. And I will not be speaking about Mal any other episodes for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you might be in trouble of like not getting a first birthday party invite. Those are going out this
week. Yeah, and
you're not
and like
in a good spot.
And to give y'all an insight, I really take my pride in not upsetting Mal. Like, I'm the one who doesn't upset her. You know what I'm saying? Like, Gregory might upset her, but I'll be there as a non-upsetting just person. I never upset her, I don't think, in my life.
Yeah, I have
and
a lot
I'm
of other friends.
I'm toying with that now, and I don't like it.
I have a lot of other friends who have upset her from time to time. And yeah, you never have until now.
Yeah, that's not good.
Not great. Trevor says, who's the college basketball equivalent of Deion Sanders as a coach?
I don't know. I can't think of one, to be honest with you.
Probably like the last 4 years, Calipari.
Yeah, but Cal was having success, though.
Just like a pure me guy, though, that doesn't win anything? You going to say Juwan?
No.
Who are you going to say? You're not going to say Izzo.
No.
Who? Who? Penny? Oh. Yeah. If Penny was like more exuberant and like playing social media better, I would like that comp. Also, Trevor wants our thoughts on Deion as a coach.
The puffing out and the talking like you're done something like as a winner doesn't sit right with me. Like, I don't know. I just don't really like the energy. And I want Deion to be successful. I really do. But like the way he's talking after they just were like an embarrassment basically last season, like they were like 1-8 in the Pac-12. They got mollywopped a bunch of times. They're really talking crazy coming into this year. And I guess keeping that same energy is great and all that, but like, talking like you won something or done something and you haven't.
Yeah, I was extremely in on Deion until this week when he started like going at players. I think that's ridiculous. Like, it's just a horrible look, and Colorado hasn't won anything. But I loved watching him last year. I loved watching his story. I did and still do think Deion's whole thing can work. Like, just keep bringing talent in. But I don't know. Didn't like the developments this week. Couple last ones here, and then we can get to the segments. Coop says, if the Pistons get the number one pick, who would you want them to draft? In my opinion, there's no clear-cut number one talent. It depends on the area of need for your team. Just want to say, in general, I hate drafting for need when you're as bad as the Pistons are. Like, they should not take need into consideration at all. They should be looking for the best player. But you're right. The problem this year is that there aren't many guys who are no-brainers.
I'm not too keen or I think educated on the foreign guys yet. So the Sars of the world, the Reichshires, I believe his name is, French kid. So I got some work to do there. But if I'm the GM and might get myself fired, I would take Stephon Castle or Bouzelis.
My current pick is Bouzelis. I see like a Franz Wagner-esque floor for him. And I know that sounds kind of crazy because Franz is really good, but you watch him in Overtime Elite, you watch him like in any of these little any competitive basketball segment that I've seen, he's like competitive as shit and just impacts the game. I like him a lot. I think he would have probably been the number one pick if he went to college. Like, I think he would have been a stud and everybody would have bought into the hype with him. So I'm in on him. I like him.
Did you see his quote too?
No.
So the I think his name is Reichshire. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing his name, French kid. Buzelis basically came out and said that, like, I've offered to get in the gym with him, work out with him, and he doesn't want that smoke because he knows I'm better than him.
I love that. I think Buzelis is that good. I do love him. I also want to just get this out there because it's about to happen. Of all drafts to, like, have the first overall pick in instead of, like, the seventh, this is the worst one of all time, because if you draft seventh in this draft, you're going to end up with, like, Rob Dillingham or Reed Shepard or Dalton Kincaid. And at minimum, those guys are really fun and I think probably do what they do off the bench on an NBA team. The top of this draft could be, like, historic busts that aren't fun. Like, all the foreign guys could be disasters that are just not fun at all. And some team late lottery is just going to, like, stumble into Rob Dillingham, who could be incredible and fun. And, like, we would be – everyone would think we're crazy if you take Rob Dillingham at one. It's just frustrating to me because normally it's the opposite. The fun guys are at the top. This year the fun guys are not at the top.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, do the Pistons trade down?
I wouldn't mind it. Coop says, this is the last comment today. I feel like the pendulum has swung too far on Jalen Brunson. He was underrated a couple years ago, but he's slowly becoming overrated. The other day, Charles Oakley said he's a better Nick than Ewing and Melo. Don't get me wrong, Brunson is a great player, but how about we let him make an all-NBA team first before we start saying he's better than literal Hall of Famers?
Jalen Brunson's tough as hell. He also should have made an all-NBA team this year. He's an MVP candidate, in my opinion.
Jalen Brunson looked real shaky in the light when Tyrese Maxey showed up last night.
Not a Brunson guy?
I'm a Brunson guy, but you're up
seven. I mean, Deuce McBride just fouls. We're not talking about this.
You're up seven with 20 seconds left in a game to close out a playoff series, and Maxey hits two big shots. Jalen Brunson hit nothing down the stretch of that game and in overtime. I saw him turn the ball over. I saw him jump pass. I saw him not be able to create space. I saw him struggle in the moment. That's what I saw.
And he had 40?
He had 40 before the moment.
Yeah. It's crazy. That this dude, 39, 47, 40. Those are his last three games.
I was also heavily on Nick's money line and the fact that 7 points in 20 seconds killed me. That's really affecting
Take that out with Deuce McBride.
Okay, great job, Discord. There's all the comments for today. Join the Discord so you can get your comments right on the show every single day. It really helps us make this a listenable, fun show. So thank you to our community over there. It keeps growing. We'll have some more fun stuff in store for you. We are going to do the ticket giveaway, right? But we just haven't drawn a name yet. You want to do that on tomorrow's show?
I'll think about it.
We're going to do the ticket giveaway for May on tomorrow's show on Riley Friday. So stay tuned for that. And if you're listening to this, everyone, you have a couple hours to get in your pitches to Carter on why you should be the recipient of this month's ticket giveaway in Discord. There you have it. Cart, could you tell the people about our sponsor, MyBookie?
I can, of course, do that. MyBookie is the official sports book of Sleepers Media. They have everything you need from expert predictions, player props, parlays, whatever you need. MyBookie has it. They make it easy to play your way and get paid. And right now, we have a massive first deposit bonus of up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000. That means, if you put a G in there, you get a free $1,000 in bonus bucks to bet with MyBookie. All you have to do is use promo code Sleepers to take advantage of that instant deposit bonus. Head over to MyBookie right now. NBA playoffs are on. Champions League football is also going on right now. Plenty of things to bet on. This is where the real bettors show their true colors. Make sure you do so over at MyBookie.
Thank you very much for that, Cart. I appreciate that. Let's get to the show. Topic number one today. I'm excited for this one, Cart. I think this could be a fun one. Let's do some way too early Big Ten tiers. I want to go through our Big Ten teams. I want to put them in tiers. I have six tiers. I have six tiers today. Can I read you the six tiers?
Please.
Tier number one is championship contenders. Notice I put an S on that. Championship contenders. Tier number two, second weekend dreams. Teams that can realistically think their team has a good chance of making a second weekend. Tier number three, NCAA tournament locks. No brainer, you're going to make the tournament. Might not win a game, but you're going to make it. Tier number four, bubble teams. Who knows? Could not. Tier number five, NIT bound, meaning we don't think you're going to make the tournament, but you're not horrid. And tier number six, bad, 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 which is just bad, just really bad, times five. Those are my six tiers. Do you have any tweaks to those tiers, or do you feel good about those six tiers?
I feel good about those tiers. We can fill these in.
Lovely. Okay. How do you want to go about this teams-wise? Do you want to start with the new teams? Do you want to start with the old teams? How would you like to go about this?
Can we just go tier by tier and just fill in the teams?
I think we'll forget teams if we do it that way.
Okay, so yeah, let's go team by teams and let's do the new teams first. But just I want to make sure I got this, just so there's championship as one, right? There's championship contenders as one, and then two is top half teams. Is that what it was?
Second weekend dreams. Good teams with a good chance of making a second weekend.
Okay. Then tournament locks.
Tournament locks.
Okay. And then bubble?
Bubble teams.
And then just bad?
NIT bound.
NIT and then bad.
Bad, 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 bad.
Bad, 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 bad. Hey.
Five bads. Five bads.
Free thugger. All right. Let's start with Washington.
Ooh, I love the initiative from you to steer with which teams we're going with here. I like this. Okay.
Yeah, let's start with Washington. I think Washington is going to be bad.
Bad, 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 bad? Or NIT?
Bad, 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 bad.
I mean, there's a chance they could get, like, a good player down the stretch here, right? Like, couldn't they steal Great Osabor? And all of a sudden, Danny Sprinkle's kind of running it back with some good players?
They could, but, like, I don't think Great's going there. I think he's keeping them on the list as a respect to Danny Sprinkle, but he's not actually going.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Washington is bad, 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 bad.
Okay. USC.
I would put them in bad, 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 bad.
I put them as bubble.
That's so high. I could stretch to NIT maybe, but like you literally said in the comment section, T. Will's their third best player.
Yeah, but St. Thomas.
T. Will was the fourth best player on Michigan last year. They won eight games.
Was he? Yeah, he was. Yeah, he probably was the.
St. Thomas was unplayable at Loyola.
Meet me in the middle of NIT.
I think it's a stretch, but just because I like Quinn Hazard, we can put USC and NIT bound. And that's respect right. Maybe Musk like steals a great player last second. So that's
respect to the Hazard family.
Who's next?
We can go Oregon.
Bubble team. That's what I see.
I see bubble team too. I think Shostad and Evans and Cook. Yeah.
Yeah, they have a good roster. It just depends on the adjustment in the Big Ten, but I buy them more than others. Okay. Last one being UCLA, I think.
I think UCLA is a tournament lock.
Lock?
A tournament team.
I think at best we'd have to put them in bubble. I could see
is the tier name. Is the tier name tournament lock or tournament team?
Tournament locks.
Okay, yeah, bubble, sorry. Can't do locks. They're bubble then.
I don't think you're allowed to be a tournament lock if Sky Clark's your best guard.
Sky Clark is their best guard.
Who do you think is? Kobe Johnson?
Dylan Andrews. I feel good. I feel good about bubble.
We'll put him in bubble. I don't trust Mick right now after everyone tried to sell us Burke Buchtin's shell and Ade Mara as like game changers, and those guys were horrid.
We're lied to. Definitely lied to.
Yeah.
All right. Now to the old guard, as we can refer to them. And it says we are going to the old guard. Wisconsin.
NIT bound.
Yeah. I'd say NIT bound as well. How do you feel about the Amos ad by them? Xavier Amos. Amos.
They got a guy who can play minutes.
Okay, that's good. They need a guy who can play. I'll say NIT.
I think it's hard to lose Chucky Hepburn and get worse.
Yeah, I mean, they lost Chucky and Store.
I think it's hard to lose Chucky and get worse.
Well, they did that. So, yeah, I say NIT.
Connor Sejean would play big minutes for them next season if he was still there, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. Rutgers.
Ooh, I'll let you lead on this one because I know where I'm with them.
Tournament lock.
I just think the whole concept of one and done freshman with Pikel is so volatile. It's hard to say that.
Okay, but also they got back. Why is it? I just had his name in my head. The guard that was out for a little bit with the injury, then he became eligible.
Jeremiah Williams.
Yeah. He was really, really good towards the end of last season, and they got him back. And I think that's really massive to go along with like those young players.
He's good.
Yeah. So, like, give me the three of Jeremiah Williams, Harper, Bailey. I think that's good enough to be a tournament lock.
If Cliff was back, for sure.
Well, when they get Coleman, then you'll feel a tournament lock, right?
Or if they get Coleman. Yeah, if they had a front court guy you trust. I just – you don't see any world where they, like, are a disaster and the freshmen don't buy in defensively and the offense is still a Pikel offense. And
oh, that world is very vividly clear to me.
If that's very vividly clear, they got to be in the bubble category.
Damn it.
Because that – again, it's tournament locks, Cart. Lock is 100%. We don't use the L word lightly. It's not 100% that Rutgers.
Right. You're right. Bubble. I don't want to fight it. You're right.
Who's next? I also would like to point out we're six teams into the new Big Ten, and none of them are NCAA tournament locks or better.
Well, here you go. Purdue Boilermakers. Champion right. Contenders.
You want to put them in championship contenders and not second weekend dreams?
No. Champion contenders.
I agree with you. There's absolutely a world where they could win a national championship next season. I like that.
Okay. Penn State. Bad.
Bad. Yep. Don't need to spend more time on that one.
No. Ohio State Buckeyes.
This one has a lot of different outcomes.
It does.
My gut says bubble team because we don't know enough about Diebler yet.
We don't. Also, are we sure this year's roster is better than last year's roster?
Not at all. I think Michi's worse than Roddy Gale. They basically didn't replace Jamison Battle, and there's no guarantee that Aaron Bradshaw is better than Akpara.
Yeah. So, like, and they lose Scotty Middleton, and I mean, I do love Devin Royal. I always stay true pat to that, but, like, this is a worse roster, in my opinion, than a team that did not make the tournament last year. So you got to put them at bubble best.
Yeah.
Honestly, they might deserve to be lower.
I agree.
All right. Bubble it is. Northwestern Wildcats. This pains me, man. They might be bad.
Until they get more ads. I think it's trending that way. It's just hard. Like, if Ty Berry is the Ty Berry he was last year, they'll be all right.
Yeah, but also, like, if we're keeping it a buck, like...
Boo was everything.
And also, like, Ty Berry, I know he just tore it, but, like, he did not look... Like, it looked even worse than, like, a regular ACL tear. Like, he would, like, look like he was really struggling, like, bad.
Yeah, there's some dudes on crutches who are like, let me get the rock, I'm ready. And then there's some dudes on crutches who are like, I'm never walking again. That's scary.
Yeah, that scares me.
I think because Barnheiser's good enough, I don't want
to. Barnheiser is good.
I don't want to put him in the bad category because Barry.
They got Martinelli back too, right?
Yeah, let's put him in NIT bound.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
I'm good with that.
Okay. Cornhuskers, Nebraska.
Hard to say without knowing for sure who all they get back, but I don't expect this to be an NCAA tournament team on paper with a Sejean in for Tominaga.
Yeah. I say there is a lot of work to be done with the roster. They could add some more people. They could have people coming back too. So I think I'd go NIT.
I'm good with NIT.
They got Gavin Griffiths too, didn't they?
They did get Gavin Griffiths, yeah. I think we're probably on the low end of Nebraska. I think there is a world where they end up a bubble team or maybe even an NCAA tournament team. But coming into the season, I think the projection should be NIT team out of the field.
Okay. Yeah, I'm with that. The Minnesota Golden Gophers.
I think you got to put them in bad, given all they're losing right now.
Yeah, they just they lost too much. They lost so much, so much.
Yeah, I feel really bad for them, but it is what it is.
Yep. Michigan Wolverines.
I'll let you answer first.
You showed me the light on the L word. Without the guard ad, which I think they are going to have an ad, I would say bubble team right now.
I'm with you. That's exactly where I'm at. If they add a good guard, I think they can go in the NCAA tournament locks category. Yeah. Until they do, I think they need to be a bubble team because it's first year of Dusty in the high major level, and there's just too many backcourt questions.
Yep, I agree.
But I think they have the highest floor of all the teams in the bubble team category. Like, I think there's a chance Rutgers and Ohio State are, like, disaster bad. I don't see disaster bad for Michigan in any world.
I'd agree with that. Definitely not 8-23 again, for sure.
Yeah.
Michigan State Spartans.
NCAA tournament lock.
Are they a lock because of Izzo, or are they a lock because of the roster?
Lock because of Izzo.
Okay. That's where I was going to put them in bubble, but bump them up to lock because of Tom Izzo, and he'll find a way.
No, he will find a way. There's enough there at the guard spots that they'll be okay. I think Xavier Booker is going to be good enough. I wouldn't say they have second weekend dreams. I think it's still a limited talent roster, but you have to. It's Michigan State. It's Tom Izzo. You have to put them in the lock category.
Yeah. Shout out to Kevin Paga. The Maryland Terps.
This one's tough. This one's really tough. I think a lot of people are going to pick them like third in the league. Second weekend? Oh, Cart.
Jacoby Gillespie. Jacoby Gillespie. My apologies. My voice just cracked. That's really tough. That's also not a good sign to me that I want them second tier. I like the Miguel ad. I think Deshaun Harris-Smith is going to take a small step this year offensively to give something. Still at worst, a good defender. I love Derek Queen. Julian Reese is one of the better post players in the Big Ten. I'm very much in on this Terps team.
Okay. I would love to be able to get there. Deshaun Harris-Smith's probably still starting at the two. I mean, last year's team had more talent than this one did, I think. Unless Derek Queen is, like, special. But if Queen is special, he still doesn't fit with Julian Reese. Jameer Young's better than Jacoby Gillespie. They didn't even sniff the bubble. It's not that they were, like, a fringe good. Like, this Maryland was horrible.
Okay, tournament lock?
I don't know. Like, how can we say they're a tournament lock?
Not bubble. We're not bubbling.
How can we say that they're a tournament lock if Deshaun Harris-Smith is still playing 30 minutes next year?
Because Dante Scott isn't.
Dante Scott was one of their good pieces.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was he actually, though?
Yes.
Dante Scott's tricking you.
I think Maryland has the highest upside of all of these middle-of-the-pack teams, but I can't say they're a lock. There's definitely a world where this is a disaster again.
No, lock. I'm pulling rank. They're a lock. They're a lock tournament team.
How is the team that last year was really bad, missed the tournament, lost Jameer Young? How is that a tournament lock?
Derek Queen is better.
Derek Queen plays the same position as Julian Reese.
Bump Julian Reese to the four, so he doesn't have to play the five anymore.
The spacing stinks. How do you play those two guys and Deshaun Harris-Smith?
Derek Queen can stretch the floor.
Those two guys and Deshaun Harris-Smith on the floor together.
They got Miguel.
Lock.
How can you like Umar Ballo and Renu, but hate Derek Queen and Reese?
Renu is more skilled than Queen.
Hell no.
And Ballo's better than Reese.
Reese is pretty good.
He's fine.
You just hate Reese because in the moment we needed him the most, He scored 2 points against Illinois.
I hate Reese because he's never been a winner in his entire career at Maryland.
That's Willard's fault.
He played before Willard got there.
Yeah, Willard's still the coach. Bubble.
Glad we got there. All right, who's next?
Derrick Queen's special.
We'll see about that.
So you said Maryland, Iowa.
I'm scared of what I'm going to say on Iowa.
Bad, bad, bad.
What are you saying? Bad?
Bad, bad, bad.
Yeah,
what's a sheep say? Bad.
I'm willing to say bad, bad, bad too, which pains me because Owen Freeman might be really good, but I don't think they have anything else. I think they might lose Samford at the draft.
Yeah, I think Brock Harding will have a good sophomore year, though.
Yeah, that's why they're in bad, bad, bad.
Who's better, Brock Harding or Trey Donaldson?
I think Trey Donaldson.
Okay. Indiana.
Indiana's a championship contender.
Good Lord.
They are. It's a top 10 roster in the sport without question.
That's crazy. Championship contender?
Without question. Championship can mean Big Ten championship, too. They're a championship contender.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they can go up there.
Indiana and Purdue alone at the top. Interesting. Who's next?
Oh, that's the only – oh, the Illini didn't make it? That's the next team.
Well, we haven't gotten there. Is Illinois next?
Yeah, Illinois is the last team.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Wow, they are. Oh, boy. I know where I would put Illinois. You tell me.
You want to put them in the bubble, don't you?
No.
Tournament lock?
Tournament lock.
I'll put him there.
I'm giving Brad the benefit of the doubt here.
I feel comfortable with that.
I'm giving he will make enough moves to get the roster where it needs to be to win enough games this league. And he honestly, other than Painter, like this has been Brad's league for 5 years.
Yeah.
Gotta give him the respect that he deserves.
Love home riches.
All right. So in summary, wow, this conference stinks again. Purdue and Indiana are championship contenders. We have no teams with second weekend dreams. We have Michigan State and Illinois as tournament locks. We have six bubble teams, Oregon, UCLA, Rutgers, Ohio State, Michigan, and Maryland. We have four NIT-bound teams, USC, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Nebraska. And we have four teams we think are awful, Washington, Penn State, Minnesota, Iowa.
Conference stinks.
It's a bad conference, man. It's a bad conference. All right. Oh goodness. Topic number two today. By the way, we didn't acknowledge this on the show. I asked you if you wanted to know any of the topics today, and you said no. So once again, you're coming in blind to all three of these. I would like to reflect a little bit on the transfer portal window that has already occurred this offseason. And I want you to give me your current transfer All-American team. So five guys that have already picked their new destinations that if transfer awards were given out next season, first team All-Transfer, who would be the first team transfer All-Americans?
Okay, so am I saying just like currently right now, or am I projecting like what they do next season?
It's what they do next season.
Like what they do next season.
Yeah, because okay. So you could take guys you think are going to make big jumps that haven't exactly done that, but I want guys that have picked a new school already that are on your next season transfer All-American teams.
Okay, and you're going to do the same, right?
Yeah, I have five names.
Are we coming up together?
I have five names. I can go first if you want to go second here.
I do want to go second, but before I do that, can I ask you this? How'd you do it positionally? Or did you just pick the five best guys?
I have three guards, a forward, and a center.
Okay. Yeah, you go first.
Okay. My first member of my transfer All-American team and my transfer player of the year for next season should be no surprise. It's Aidan Mahaney at UConn. I'm going to victory lap the world so hard when Aidan Mahaney is like an 18 a game scorer and he's Big East player of the year. And I'm like, I tried to tell you that white boy had some shit to him. He's special. He's a perfect fit with Hurley. He's going to be the best player on UConn. And if you're the best player on UConn, you're an All-American. My second transfer All-American is, I think, the most talented player on paper in the portal. John L. Davis at Arkansas. Cal has not had a guard this good as a vet in a long time. He's had talent come in. He has not had a guy who's played college as long as John L that he can trust from a veteran leadership standpoint. That's John L. He's going to be a stud. He should be a first-team All-SEC player. He's first-team All-Transfer All-American. My third guard is a guy who I expect to make a little bit of a jump. Malik Mack at Georgetown. I think he's going to be featured. I think Malik Mack is that good. And I think Ed Cooley is going to have him one here. I think first-team All Big East is absolutely in the cards if Georgetown can win enough games. To my front court on my All-American team for the transfers, I have Trey Townsend at Arizona. I think a lot's going to be asked of Townsend, as I've alluded to in the past. I think he could be used as a playmaker quite a bit, especially if Jaden Bradley is in his backcourt. I think you're going to see like point forward, really versatile guy playing off of Crevis. It's just going to work. And Tommy Lloyd in that up-tempo system, he's going to put up prolific numbers. And from one Arizona big to an Arizona outgoing big, I think Umar Ballo demands a spot as the center on this team. He was just the best center that hit the portal. I think he's a walking double-double. We'll average a double-double at Indiana. And you can't really argue that he is that caliber of player. So my transfer All-American team, Aiden Mahaney, John L. Davis, Malik Mack, Trey Townsend, Umar Ballo.
I like that. I like that lineup a lot. I did have to make one last adjustment. I don't want you to think that I changed it. I did make a mistake. I didn't do it. I put a non-committed player.
Okay.
I really wanted Kadari Richmond in my five. I really wanted him. But I did have some crossover with you. I had Nelly Davis on my team as well. I just think he's going to go crazy at Arkansas. At the second guard spot, I have Jeremy Roach. I think that Jeremy Roach is going to excel at Baylor. And I am really banking on chip on the shoulder FU John Shire year out of him. And I think he's going to be really good in that Baylor system. Third, I think you could guess if you know me well enough. Greg, do you want to take one quick guess?
Is it a guard?
It's a wing. Wing guard.
I don't know. I don't think I know you well enough.
I stand for this dude a lot.
I don't know.
Tremont Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Tremont Mark.
Yeah.
I think that he's been productive at every stop that he's been at. I think that on an Arkansas team that was a shit show, he was consistent in his effort and play when healthy. I think he did a lot for that team. So I really like Tremont Mark. I think he's going to be really good at Texas. I have Trey Townsend at my four for the reasons that you said. I think that he's going to be great in that Arizona system, and he's going to put up some big numbers. At my five spot, I did go back and forth as I was thinking about it. Umar Ballo was my pick, but I'm going to go a different route on this one. I'm going to go Jonas Adu as my five.
You think Adu's better than Ballo?
I do think that Adu is better than Ballo, yeah.
That one's crazy to me.
I just think Adu has a little bit more to his game than Ballo does.
Okay. Ballo's so overpowering to me, he doesn't need anything else to his game. It's like a one-on-one force in the sport right now.
That's very true.
All right. Okay. You feel good about this?
I kind of want Big Z to be my center, but like I know that's not who I should pick.
I mean, you could.
Who was your guards again? It was Mahaney and Davis?
Mahaney, Davis, Mack, Townsend, Ballo.
I do really like your team, I must say. I like my team more.
How many of these do you think we'll just miss on? Like at the end of next season when we go back and say, here's the transfer All-Americans.
I think you can pencil in Nelly Davis and Trey Townsend right now.
I would say Ballo too. I think Mahaney and Mack are the two I could be wrong about.
Yeah, I'll give you Ballo too. Is there any part of you that scares you with Ballo whatsoever?
No.
You just think, like, if he is such a dominating force, why is he just like a 10-10 guy, 12-10? Is that an opportunity thing? Like, they need to throw on the ball more, or he needs to stay on the floor more? Or
I mean,
what?
two years.
If he is just this dominating force, why is he putting up 10-10?
2 years ago, Tubelis was the featured guy. Last year, Caleb Love took everything.
Got you. But there is a world where Balo doesn't look like what you think he should as a featured guy, right? Or you think it's a no-brainer?
I don't think there's a world where Balo averages less than 10-10, and that alone deserves a spot on this team.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not about upside. His floor is like 12-10 to me.
Got you. All right.
Okay. All right. Final topic today. I want to play a game of transfer matchmaker, Cart. I have in front of me a list of 6 guys that have not committed at the time we are recording this video. Now, obviously, things can change. If we look stupid in hindsight, we look stupid in hindsight. But I have 6 of the players of the most interest to us that could go anywhere in the country. Some of these guys have lists, some do not. I'm asking you and I both to ignore the lists, ignore everything that has been said about where they may go, and instead tell me where should they go? Who is the perfect match for this player? What team will this player be most optimized on? Are you excited for this game?
I think this is the perfect game for me. There's nothing I love more than just ignoring lists and placing players where they go. Can I make one rule for this game?
Yes.
You can only use UConn once.
Well, that was my answer to you was going to be you can only use any school once.
Okay.
So and by the way, I said there's 6 players. There's 7 players. I lied. Do you want to know all 7 players ahead of time, or do you want to go one by one and kind of keep the doubt in your mind of like, should I use UConn yet or not?
Let's go one by one.
Okay. Interesting. This should be fun. First up. Actually, I think we should do these in alphabetical order. That's
also
unfair, right?
Also, we can't. No, I need to know before because you know before.
You're right.
Good move by me. Come
yeah,
on,
you're growing. You're growing up before our eyes. Okay, the 7 players are Kadari Richmond, AJ Hogard, Arthur Kaluma, Coleman Hawkins, Great Osabor, Norchad Omier, Cliff Amorier.
Ooh, okay.
Tried to get a nice little mix of guard, wing, big here. I feel like I did a good job.
Okay.
All right. So first up, Kadari Richmond. Again, throw out the list, throw out the rumors that he's Rick Pitino bound. Where would be the best place on earth for Kadari Richmond to go?
UConn.
You're using the UConn card on Kadari. Okay.
I'm using the UConn card on Kadari, yeah.
So there, all of these players, I think you could make the argument UConn is perfect for. I have done the whole Coleman UConn thing for forever, for a day. You like Kadari to UConn more than you like Coleman to UConn in the Caravan role.
Yes, I do. I think Caravan comes back, and I think you have Kadari, a starting lineup of Kadari, and whatever else you want to do. I mean, there's all types of things, but like you could have like a Kadari, McNeely, Mahaney lineup. You could have Caravan, Sam. Like there's so many things you could do, but like having that level point guard and that offense, like you're with all due respect to Tristan Newton, you're upgrading at the point guard position.
Okay. I have a better answer than UConn, I think. And I'm excited to see your reaction to this one. I want Kadari Richmond to go to Houston.
Ooh, I love that.
Does he not seem like the perfect Houston guard?
Yeah. I love that.
Like Jamal Shedd, but bigger.
Your 3 is Kadari Richmond, Sharp, Cryer. Love that.
Crazy team.
Love that. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I'm pushing Kadari to Houston. Sorry, Milos Uzan, but would love to see Kelvin drop a bag and make a play there. Okay. From Kadari to another point guard, AJ Hogard.
I'm going to say. I'm going to say USC.
Why USC?
I think they need a point. Weed's legal in California. And I think Muss and Hogard could get along.
That's Muss and Hogard. Okay, I'm going to just focus on the basketball side of this and not the weed or the player side of this. I actually think he would be optimized the most at Marquette. I really do. We talked about that in his video. but I think he would work next to Cam Jones. Oddly enough, I trust Shaka to get something out of him.
Okay. Not bad.
They wouldn't be a great team, but they'd be a good team, and he could play a good role on that team.
I hate that.
Also, it's Marquette getting their lick back for Joey Hauser's departure. Kind of like that. Arthur Kaluma.
Yeah, they really got us on that one. Okay. This one I'm placing with a little caveat here. Baylor does not get Tre'Zarion White from UNCW. Send Arthur Kaluma to Baylor. Play him in the Jalen Bridges role.
I'm curious if you and I are going to agree on any of these. I am not picking Baylor because I think Baylor has too many winning habits as a program to build around Arthur Kaluma.
He won at Creighton.
Yeah, as a fifth option, not as a... I also think Arthur wants to be featured, and I don't think Baylor would feature him. I'm going to put him on Illinois, where he would be featured.
Good one.
I'm going to put him on Illinois. Yeah, I think it makes all the sense in the world if they can figure out the school side. To Coleman Hawkins, where I'm shooting my shot. It's UConn.
100%.
It's too perfect. There is no better spot for him to land than there.
Yeah, I'm going Happy Riley Davis here. I'm going UNC.
Okay. You really think he'd work with, like, RJ?
I do. I think you could do a lot of things. I think that RJ's a good off-ball player, too, as well. And I think that having that passing ability at that spot, at the big man spot, I think would really help him.
For some reason, Cadeau and Coleman together terrifies me.
Even though Cadeau Coleman kind of works name-wise?
They're just going to, like, try to out-fancy pass each other.
That'd be kind of fun to watch.
It kind of could be. Also, Coleman and Hubert just doesn't feel natural to me. And also, Coleman told Riley, quote, booty when North Carolina was
And I quote, booty.
Great Osibor.
Ooh. I think he's okay. So I think he wants the ball. I think he wants a bag. I don't know how I feel about this one. I'm going to say, God, I would have said Illinois if they didn't get Hemichurri. I'm going to say like a school like Oregon or something. Oregon or Washington.
See, those schools to me are too random and not good enough rosters for where he would be optimized.
You think he's looking for roster or bag?
It's not about what he's looking for. It's me matchmaking what's best for him.
Okay. Well, if I'm doing the, like, I'm great Osborne's agent. I'd actually send him to Kansas State.
Okay. I'm using one you already used, but I'm matchmaking him to North Carolina. I think North Carolina is rumored to be after a Duke the Arrow. And I think Great Osibor is just a Duke the Arrow, but way better. Like, way better. So, spend your money here. I think UNC thinks they're getting Cliff. I don't think they're getting Cliff. Maybe I'll be wrong. They need a front court player that's not just a player. He's a star. I think Great Osibor is a star, and he would work well off of RJ Davis.
I like the fit.
Okay. All right, we have two left. We're running out of time to try and both pick the correct spot here. And my last two are kind of random. I'd be surprised if you pick either correctly. Norchad Omier, where is the perfect fit? I'm proud of my answer for this one, but it's random.
Can you say your answer first?
I want to see Norchad selfishly. I want to see him on a team that's ready to win. Ready to win. Ready to win and needs production in the front court. Doesn't have anybody of his type in the front court right now. What's a school that has a point guard, shooting guard, small forward, stretch four, locked and loaded, ready to win, top 10 roster in the country, but doesn't have a good big? Maybe a program built on toughness. Maybe a program built on defense. Maybe Iowa State.
Ooh.
drop him in and play the five with everything Ots has around them, I think that team would be nasty.
I like that. I like that. It's not where I went with Nort. That's not where I went with Norchad, but I like that. Yeah, I'm selfish. Put his ass on Michigan State.
I had them written down, and then I erased it for Iowa State because I like the win now angle more.
Yeah, F your win now angle. I got a 39-minute angle.
That's exactly what you need, for sure.
Yeah, and I'm being selfish right now.
It is exactly what you need. Okay. Whew, final one here. Cliff.
I don't give a piss about nothing but the tie, baby.
I don't like this one because I don't think he fits great with Grant Nelson, and I don't know.
Why not though? Because I feel like Nelson's more of a perimeter oriented guy, and to me, Cliff just wants to play fast. And does it get much faster than Bama?
Are you basing that off of anything or just speculation?
What, that he wants to play fast?
Yeah, like does Cliff do things that play fast?
I think he wants to, like, get out and run and, like, play for a team that, I mean, he can – I think he can run the floor. All they do is shoot threes and then go to the rim.
So he wants to just get out and run and just rebound everybody's missed threes?
I think he just wants to play fast. Like, if you play 4 years of pickle ball, maybe you just want to play a little fast.
Maybe. I have a different SEC school. I put him on Tennessee. He reminds me of Tennessee bigs, but – good. Like, if Jonas Adu could become Jonas Adu last year, like, just physical rim running presence in a team that is always physical. I know they have Akpara, but Cliff would just eat Akpara for lunch.
I hate that fit. I just hate it.
All right, well, we're on opposite ends of this. So we were 0-7. None of our seven we agreed on.
That's good for us.
I'm mad at you on the Coleman UConn was better than Kadari UConn. Come on.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it is. It really is. One big thing presented by nobody. What do you got?
If I could go back and change something about my life, anything about my life, and I mean anything, it would be that I would want to be left-handed. I hate being right-handed.
Huh.
If I was a lefty, I would be in the league.
Do anything you set your mind to, I guess.
I hate being right-handed.
All right. My one big thing is I would like to know how your golf league went last night.
You know, it wasn't too bad. Had some good shots here and there. I'm really good. I'm very, very much locked in with all my fairway woods, hybrids, putter, and pitching wedge. I was incredible chipping around the green yesterday. You got me within 100 yards. Mainly, I'd say within 80. If I'm in that 80 to 60 range, I'm getting us in a great position to putt, and I actually putted pretty well. Still got some things to figure out. The swing is feeling a lot better. It's going to be a long summer, but I think there are small signs of improvement.
Hmm. Okay.
Still cannot hit an iron, though. Can absolutely not hit one.
I like these vibes for you. That's good. This feels like a positivity step forward for me with your golf game.
Oh, I said so. Yeah, but this little baby right here, this little pitcher wood. Okay, I didn't clean that last night. There's a little something on there. That's gross. But yeah, this baby right here, you get me within like 70 yards, look, nice and soft hands, Scotty Scheffler style hands. I'm getting it up there.
You hit your pitching wedge 70 yards?
Hmm?
You hit your pitching wedge 70 yards?
Like a little like quarter swing, yeah.
Ain't you 6'7"?
Huh?
You're like 6'7", like 230, 240.
I mean, I wish I was that weight. Why? I'm
wondering how you hit your pitching wedge 70 yards.
Like I shouldn't be doing that?
You're a strong man, 6'7".
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, do you realize like the swing I do with it is like it's like I bring it if it's like this, I'm bringing it back like here, and I'm just.
So you're chipping 70 yards.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
What are you hitting at 70 yards away?
Like one of my lofted degree wedges, either
like a 56, 58.
Either 52 or 56, probably, depending on wind and conditions.
Yeah, anything around like 70 yards and in, probably using my pitch wedge. If I'm at 100 yards, I'm like bumping and running with an 8 probably.
You don't have a gap wedge?
I got an attack wedge.
So what's a full swing pitching wedge go for you?
It doesn't go anywhere. I can't hit my irons.
Oh. All right.
I don't do a full swing pitching wedge.
Do you have any comment on the people that are accusing you of being in too many leagues?
Yeah, I'm cutting down, and I'm not going to be in a basketball league after the last game of Monday.
No more men's league?
I'm not going to do men's league this summer, no.
Why?
Because, I mean, I don't know if I can do men's league hoop, men's league golf. Plus, like, I always have a Saturday morning hoop league that I always play in. Like, it's too much.
I hate to say this. You realize what's happening, right?
What?
This is the beginning of the end of your basketball career.
No way.
You get the first time, man. You're what, 30, 31?
31.
31. The first time you say, yeah, I'm not playing the league this year.
Well, there's a reason I'm not, though. Not only to cut down on leagues, but also once it gets warm outside, there's a park near my house, Lawson Park. They have hoop runs every single day. So I'm just going to go up there.
See about that. Thanks for watching the show. We'll be back with Riley Davis for Riley Friday.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.